Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Give us a call, 208-991-4783, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, our listener support campaign continues, and I want to thank so much for his kind gift, Brian Ashby, who has given to the show before. Thank you so much, Brian, for your support. And during our listener support campaign, we send along to everyone who gives to the show at $7 or more access to our premium site. In addition to that, those who give $20 or more get a free copy of my ebook, All I Needed to Know, I Learned from Columbo, and an additional gift. A full list of gift options is support.greatdetectives.net. At the $20 level, we have a wide variety of mystery and adventure programs from Colonial Radio Theater. Among those is Perry Mason. Now, this isn't the Raymond Burr Perry Mason from the 1950s. I like that, but this kind of follows more closely with the original novels from the 1930s, which has a different feel to it. At the $50 level, if you're in the United States or Canada, you can receive an autographed copy of my 2010 novel, Tales of the Damned Night. And at the $100 level, we offer you The History of Harry Niles, Set 1, with that Seattle private detective Harry Niles in some of his earliest radio adventures, set in the 1930s and 40s, up to the first part of World War II, but produced mostly in the 1970s. It's a great set, and that's available for those who have $100 or more. We have other options, but I want to get into today's show, so you can view them all at support.greatdetectives.net, as well as all the options you have for donating to the program. Also, be sure and listen, and we're going to talk about what the show is going to be like on Monday's next season. But here now is The Adventures of Frank Race and the Enoch Arden Adventure.
Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins. The war changed many things, the face of the earth and the people on it. Before the war, Frank Race worked as an attorney, but he traded his law books for the cloak and dagger of the OSS. When it was over, his former life was over, too. Adventure had become his business. The Adventures of Frank Race. And now we join Frank Race for the Enoch Arden Adventure.
It was one of those places that features music, not only for atmosphere, but also to drown out the cries of the patrons when they get their checks. Mine was a mellow mood. I expected to be joined at any moment by a creature both feminine and luring. So I was settling myself for a gentle and interesting evening when...
But I cannot admit you, monsieur.
Hey, Ray, tell these guys you know me, will you?
Don't make a scene, Henri. Let the gentleman in.
Yeah, you see, wise guy. Wise guy.
Well, what's the pitch, Mark?
I got a dame in a cab. She wants to see you.
Why didn't you come in? She's supposed to meet me here.
Huh? You expecting a dame?
You don't think I'd go white-tying to dine alone, do you?
I got me a feel and a dame in my cab. Ain't the one you're expecting.
Blonde, statuesque, rather beautiful?
Uh-uh. Redhead. Stacked. Completely a pip.
That good?
Mm-mm.
All right, you sold me. Henry.
You wish something, Monsieur Race?
Yeah, there'll be a lady seeking me. I've been taken suddenly ill.
Ill?
You'll make it convincing.
Oh, but of course, Monsieur Race. You are dying.
To steal a phrase from Mark, the lady in the cab was a pip. I had a look at her while lighting a cigarette. I held the match until it almost burned my fingers. Then I sat back to await developments.
I'm Hillary Stewart. I have a personal problem that I think you could help me with, Race. A matter of insurance. The policy's for $500,000.
Something tells me the insurance is on your husband's life.
Yes.
And at the moment he's alive?
I don't know. You see, Race, I'm 26 years old. I was married 8 years ago. Almost 7 years ago, my husband disappeared.
Disappeared?
Just disappeared. Police had the case. There was a lot of publicity and...
Oh, yes, yes, I remember. Martin Stewart, senior partner in the importing firm of Stewart Ronick, wasn't
it? That's right. And in this state, when a person's been missing for 7 years,
he may be declared legally dead under the Enoch Arden law, which would make that little insurance policy of yours payable.
You cover ground quickly, Mr. Ray.
$500,000, I'm afraid I can't see where you'd have any problems.
Do you think the insurance company will be inclined to pay all that money without investigation?
No. I think they'll investigate all over the place. But if everything's above board...
Suppose they were to find that my husband had been murdered.
Well, it'd be important only if you murdered him. Did it?
That's what I mean. That's why I want you to look into the affair for my protection. Will you take the case?
Have dinner with me. Coax me a little.
I'd like that, but I can't. Not tonight. Tomorrow, perhaps?
Let's drop the perhaps.
All right. And now if I could be transferred to another cab, I must go home.
Well, we'll take you home. Where to?
Sumter Terrace, 1450.
Sumter Terrace is an exclusive district. One of those streets where tall, thin trees line the curbs and short, fat women parade their dogs. There was a man standing before the entrance to number 1450 as I escorted Hillary Stewart up the steps. She spoke to him.
Hello, Gary. I'm sorry I'm late.
I've been waiting an hour.
I'm truly sorry. I'll go in and get ready right away. Thanks a lot, Mr. Race. If you'll call for me...
Tomorrow. I'll remember. I wanted to go into the building, then I turned toward Mark in the cab. But I didn't go toward them. Gary was there on the steps, blocking the way to the street.
Stay away from her, understand?
Now you're making me very sad. It's practically an engraved invitation to come back.
Yeah? And what's this?
Punch nailed me to the wall of the building. His outline danced in front of me as I fought to breathe, to stay upright. I was conscious of his grinning at me, an ugly grin. Then he pulled the door open and went inside.
Hey, what went on there? What goes on, Ray Short?
Well, just embarrassed, Mark. You know, I'll be all right. Second.
I thought I saw him throw a snake punch at dirty low-down, no good. What'd he slug it?
Well, I digest my food.
Go on inside. I'll go in and beat his brain.
No, not now, Mark. I can take care of myself. I have an idea we'll be seeing him again. The enforced soup diet that Gary had thrust upon me was wearing on my nerves for the next evening. My appetite was back in working order and my spirits were high, but the housekeeper who answered the door at the residence of Hillary Stewart sent them into a nosedive.
I don't understand it, sir. She left no messages.
You have no idea where she can be reached, huh?
Well, she took a plane last night to Europe.
Europe? Last night?
Yes, sir. To Zurich, Switzerland. Perhaps you could write to her there at the Hotel Metropole.
Sorry. I don't suppose you have any idea of why she went there.
Well, Mr. Stewart, God rest him, used to have a branch of his company there. I think Mr. Romick, his partner, works from there now.
I take it you've been with Mrs. Stewart for some time?
Oh, yes, sir. I was Mr. Stewart's housekeeper for 10 years before he married her.
I understand he disappeared not long after the wedding.
Yes. Happened right here in this very room. It was a Sunday afternoon. I was listening to the radio. And then the news came over that Pearl Harbor had been bombed. Mr. Stewart, he didn't say a word. Got up and walked out of the house, and we never saw him or heard of him again.
Hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. With Hillary Stewart running out on me, my first reaction was an impulse to flip the whole thing. I can do without women to play games, even glamorous redheads. But I thought of her playmate Gary and that sneak punch, and decided that I had to see that boy again. The way he'd acted made me certain I'd find him wherever I'd find Hillary. I played a hunch. I went into a phone booth and called several of the bigger life insurance companies. And I hit the jackpot when I spoke to Steve Watson, vice president in charge of claims at Columbia Life Plan.
Yes, Rice, we issued the policy on Stewart's life. Why?
Well, I just think the claim's a little fuzzy.
Hmm?
I'd check some more before paying off.
Oh, I wish you'd have told me that a little bit sooner. Claim was paid off in full yesterday.
Yesterday?
That's right.
But she'd already collected when I met her.
Hmm? Was that right?
Nothing, Steve.
Wait a minute. You got something on your mind. Spill it.
Hey, look, Steve, let me throw you a proposition. I think that claim's off base. Let me look into it. And if I come up with something, I'm working for you. And if I fail, I'm on my own.
That's the deal. Where can I reach you?
Make it care of American Express. Zurich, Switzerland. Switzerland, land of peace and comparative plenty, nestling in the heart of a war-torn and starving continent. Setting down on the runway of the Zurich airport was different from most European landings. There were no bomb-shattered buildings, no rubble-choked streets. Mark and I smudged the register at the Hotel Metropole. I found Hillary Stewart's name in the book, but she wasn't in, so I left Mark at the hotel and located the office of Stewart Rummick.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag. I'm looking for a... Ich bin...
An American. Well, don't struggle with the lingo, pal. Let's just talk United States.
Oh, gladly. Now, I always have trouble with my umlaut.
So do I. Hey, where are you from?
New York.
No place like it. Hey, I used to play ball for the Dodgers. Hmm? 2 years with them before Uncle Robbie traded me. Third base.
Yeah, in the hot corner.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. What'd you say your name was?
Frank Race. Mm. And I'm looking for a young lady I think you may know. Hillary Stewart?
Why, sure I do. I was her husband's partner. I'm Pete Rummick, and you're in luck. Hillary's in the other office. Came in a few minutes ago. Come on.
Hillary was sitting beside her desk, sipping hot chocolate. There was no flicker of surprise in her eyes when she saw me. We were still playing a game, and she was winning. Because I could see that she had been expecting me. Behind the desk sat a dark-skinned man who might have been from the Mediterranean area. I had a feeling that at home he'd been wearing a turban. He was introduced as Sutra Heyman, manager of the office.
You have just arrived in Switzerland, Mr. Rice?
A few hours ago.
Enjoy a pleasant voyage.
Enjoyed a fast flight.
You must have, Rice. Faster than I expect.
Ah, but you did expect. You know, we never quite finished that chat we started in New York. Our dinner dates might result in a case of malnutrition for me.
Forgive me, Race, and I'll make it up to you this very evening. There's a quaint place just on the outskirts of town, the Dorothy. Let's meet there, say at 8.
Fine. 8 o'clock it is. The Dorothy is the kind of place you dream about. It had all the old-world charm, along with candlelight, exquisite linen, fine old silver. The place did something extra for Hillary's eyes. And it was difficult not to forget that this lovely creature was a very dangerous companion.
Oh, I'm enjoying this enormously, Ray. It's the sort of place I'd enjoy spending every evening with someone like you, after I get the insurance money.
You must be suffering from amnesia, child. You've already received the money. You can put away that fetching stare, Ducky. Got my information from the insurance company.
All right, Ray. I guess I should have given you my confidence in the first place.
And listen.
I engaged you, Ray, because I'm afraid.
Of what?
Being murdered.
By whom? Gary? Romick? Eamon?
I don't know. Perhaps my husband. Perhaps he really isn't dead. Oh, Race, I'm a coward, and the money only gives me more to fear.
You're not silly enough to be carting $500,000 around with you.
No. No, I cashed the check, but I put the money in one of those rental lockers that look out of your field before I came over. Here. Here's the key that opens that locker, Race. I want you to keep it for me.
You want me to keep it?
I don't know why, but I'm convinced that getting rid of this key is my only chance of staying alive.
Yeah, that's a very sweet thought. Now we can stop worrying about you, but what about me?
We'll return to the adventures of Frank Race in just about 1 minute. Now, back to the adventures of Frank Race.
I waited for somebody to make a play, but nothing came. Until I got an invitation from Sutra Heyman to take part in some winter sports at a chalet he owned above Snowline. Inside the chalet, there was a roaring fire in every room. Romick was there, and so was Gary and a few other people I didn't know. But Heyman didn't bother with introductions. He showed me up to my room, and he came in, too. Closed the door.
There is a small balcony outside the window, Mr. Race. But do not become overly enthusiastic about the view. There is a sheer drop of almost 1,000 feet.
You didn't come in to tell me that.
Merely polite conversation. A prelude to more important things.
What's on your mind?
Hillary Stewart.
In what way?
I'm in love with her. I want you to leave her alone.
So you invited us up here to spend the weekend together. Rotten planning.
I have several plans. Some of them pleasant.
And the others?
Most unpleasant. They do not come within 1,000 feet of being pleasant.
What do you want? The girl or the money? Because if it's the money, you have to deal with me.
What do you mean?
Stewart's insurance. $500,000. It's locked up, and I've got the only key to it.
Then you are not interested in Hillary.
Well, in a casual sort of way. Many men would be. Gary's the lad you better keep the eye on.
Gary works for me. It was his job to keep other men away from her.
Oh, so that's it. You brace yourself for a shock, Hammond. Your muscle man has fallen in love with his work.
Gary? You are joking.
It's no joke, Hammond. He'll kill anybody who tries to take her away from him. Including you. After planting the seed of doubt within Heyman, I went to bed. But I was restive. With that 1,000-foot drop outside the window, I felt like a flagpole sitter the day before he breaks the record. It was with sleepy delight that I found myself alive in the morning. But the sleepiness wore off with tobogganing and skiing and the inevitable snow fight.
Ouch!
Oh,
take
that one, Race!
Watch him, Race! He's putting chunks of ice on them.
Now, as a kid, we used to use coal.
I'll even it up with you. With this one.
No.
Oh, nice work, Romick. Why do I get on my right side, will you? You're blocking my swing.
Oh, sorry. Forgot you were a southpaw.
Oh, there's Heyman in the open. Let him have it.
Yeah. I surrender.
Me too. I'm the only undamaged target left.
Oh, just when I was getting the range. Oh, well. Look, there's a car coming up the road.
Yes, I think it's a friend of mine.
Oh.
I'll go meet him.
Oh.
It's Mark, all right, in a battered cab that a New York hacky wouldn't have taken into the Catskills. I told the cab driver to wait, and I dragged the protesting Mark up to my room.
What's the matter with you? What'd you tell him to wait for?
Because he's going right back with him. How about the cables?
Oh, yeah. Bad news. The insurance company got in touch with the police, like you said, and they opened that lock at LaGuardia, but the loot was gone.
Gone? Are you sure, Mark?
Empty as a horse player's pocket here. Read it yourself.
Hmm. How about Romick?
2 years with the Dodgers, all right. Third base, like you told him. Batted a lousy 212, but he was okay in the field.
Still, a southpaw third baseman is a bit unusual.
What are you talking about? Romick ain't no southpaw. Just says he was a right-hander.
Good boy, Mark. That's what I wanted.
Then I don't have to go back down with that nut?
Oh, more than ever. You're going to Paris.
Paris? Why don't you say so? I'll slide down a hill on my nose.
There's a Columbia Life Plan office on the Rue de la Paix. Get to the man in charge and tell him I sent you.
Check. Ruth de la Paix.
Check. Tell him to contact every major insurance company on the continent and find out if any of them have ever paid a claim on the life of Pete or Peter Romick.
He ain't dead.
He may be. This Romick's an imposter. And one more thing.
Yeah?
I think Hillary brought the money over here with her.
Mm-hmm.
$500,000 shouldn't be too hard to trace. Have all the foreign exchange branches of the banks checked to see if any private individual has had large sums of American currency exchanged for francs or British pounds, any European currency.
Consider that I have done it. And we'll be back with the info in a couple of days.
Well, wait a couple of days, I'll be as cold as yon mountain peak. Heyman has a phone hidden in his den. I spotted the wires. Now, you stay at the Columbia Life Plan office when you get that information.
Uh-huh.
Make them keep the place open all night if you have to. And I'll slip down during the night and phone you from here.
I will persuade them to stay open with me and Wrench.
I had less time than I thought. It was in their eyes at lunch. There was a lot of nervous tension around that table. Another very obvious thing was that all the other guests, with the exception of Hillary, Romick, Gary, and, of course, Hammond, had suddenly left for other places, another company.
You are not eating well, Race. I should think the sports would sharpen your appetite.
He goes on diet sometimes. He loves soup.
Well, I'm not much of a lunch hound. Neither is Hillary. Maybe we need more exercise. Walk?
I think I'd like that.
Excuse us?
Of course.
Sure.
The snow was beautiful and deadly. Deadly because you left a trail behind you with every step. No use trying to hide. There was no place to hide. Hillary knew it, too, because...
Race. Oh, Race.
Hey, take it easy.
Hold me, Race. I'm frightened. One of them's going to kill me.
Why, you? I've got the key. There's no time to argue the point, because unless I'm mistaken, there's a man on that far slope. And he has a rifle with a telescopic sight. Get down.
Where is he?
Never mind. Do as I tell you. Crawl this way, but keep low.
Oh, Race, we can't go any further. There's a drop here.
Yeah, there's a slight slope. If it isn't too sheer, we may make it. Hold on a minute now and relax. We're going to go bobsledding without a bobsled.
No, Race. No!
We hit the bottom. It was touch and go, but it was a little extra distance on our side. But we had to keep moving. At least we had darkness to cover us. Then we rested, but not for long. I was trying to figure out a way to work back to the house and keep my telephone rendezvous with Mark when...
Race. Race, look.
Following the trail with torches. Tenacious, aren't they? Only two lights, though. Somebody isn't playing.
Race, you can hear me?
Don't answer him.
Well, thanks for the advice. Think I like to play clay pigeon?
Answer me, Race. Or I shall have your friend call you. You don't think I let him get back to Zurich, do you?
He's got Mark.
Your friend wants you to join us here. I will let him tell you.
Don't be a sucker, Race. Keep going.
And you? I'm sorry, Hillary. All right, Hammond. Gary. You've convinced me.
Bargain with them, Race. They want the key.
Very pertinent suggestion. Yeah, listen, Hammond. Before I make a target of myself, remember, I'm the only one who knows where that key is.
I am aware of that, Race. Lead me to it. Then Gary will hold you and your friend for 48 hours, after which you will be released.
Get lost, Race! Get lost!
All right, Hammond, but make Gary lay off.
You can stop him by walking toward our torches.
Here we come. We walked to the lights. Poor Mark. Looked like he'd gone 40 rounds with Dempsey. His eyes swollen, half closed.
What'd you have to give up for?
Perhaps to fight another day, boy. All right, Heyman. Shall we march?
An excellent suggestion.
The scout troop seems to be short a member of the Eager Beaver Patrol.
Romick?
No, the man who posed as Romick.
Oh, you are very clever, Ace. The real Romick is dead, of course, as you surmise.
How about the fake Romick?
He is dead too, Race. You see, he went up to search your room, and he found part of the cablegram you tried to burn. The information about the real Romney. He was very excited. He wanted to find you and confide in you, I think. But in his excitement, he fell from the balcony.
Well, that's convenient. Only two of you to split the money now. How are you going to split Hillary?
What do you mean, Race?
Well, Heyman was in a tender and confiding mood yesterday. He loves the lady. That makes you rivals, doesn't it?
Heyman?
He's needling you, you fool.
If you can convince him of that, Heyman, you're dumber than I thought.
I'm smart enough to make sure. Drop your gun, Heyman, and walk with the rest.
This is earlier than I had planned, this Gary. But you had to be eliminated sooner or later.
Oh, careful, Ray. Now I knew you'd be a sucker, Gary. Leave hold of me. Now, I'll take that. Don't shoot, Ray. Please.
Don't worry. I'm not the type. How do you feel, Mark?
Oh, Rocky.
Oh, that's too bad. I thought you might want to tie the score with Gary.
Oh, I get it. For that, I'm in a pink. I got one good round in me, and that's just about all it's going to take.
Now, listen.
No, listen. You're a very lucky guy that I ain't got my hand. What do you know? Boy, look at all that ocean under us, will you?
Well, I'd be glad to see New York again.
Hey, what do you suppose them Swiss guys will do to that Gary?
They murdered Heyman. They have laws. Good ones.
You saved my life, Race. I'm very grateful.
You'll pay for it.
Of course. I'll pay you well. Are you sure the insurance company will close the case when we've told them everything?
When we've told them everything... Yes. And as soon as they locate and attach the money, wherever you banked it in Europe.
But I don't understand.
And you've yet to be tried for being an accessory to your husband's murder.
Holy smokes, Race, what are you...
You made a big mistake, Hillary. You were the only one who knew the money wasn't in the locker. Or Heyman would have shot me on sight without trying to get the key.
That's not true, Race.
Oh, yes it is, Ducky. You were all in it together. You, Heyman, and the others. Heyman was easy to tag, too. You know, the manager of a branch office of a bankrupt firm wouldn't own a Swiss chalet equipped with servants unless he had private means, like the money from Romick's insurance.
That doesn't mean that I had any...
It means you were greedy, Ducky. You didn't want Heyman to cut in on your half million.
But, Race, why would I have called you in if I had anything
yes,
to...
Yes, just so you could ask that very question. You knew that I would be the perfect alibi in the eyes of the insurance company. Would have worked, too, beautifully, if you hadn't taken that money out of the locker.
You're not going to send me to prison, Race. Never! Never!
Race, she's getting away!
20,000 feet with all that ocean down there? Relax, Mark. She isn't going far.
Frank Race, starring Tom Collins, with Tony Barrett as Mark Dollins, with Tony Barrett as Mark Dollins. Others heard in tonight's cast were Michael Ann Barrett, Tom Holland, Charlie Lung. This series is written and directed by Joel Murcott and Buckley Angel. The music is composed and played by Ivan Dittmars. Be sure to be with us again this same time next week for another dramatic chapter in The Adventures of Frank Race. Art Gilmore speaking. This is a Bruce Ells production.
Welcome back. Well, we learned Mark Donovan is always ready for a fight. Even when he's about to fall over himself, he'll be sure and just save one punch for the bad guy before he goes down. But I can definitely understand why. The Enoch Arden laws, always rich material for the minds of mystery writers. Well, we now are going to talk about Monday's next season. And this is something that's going to change the middle of next season. We still have quite a few weeks where we'll be doing Frank Race here. But I guess I should start by letting you know that yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is going to be featuring Bob Bailey soon. And this has been something I've been asked about since we began the show. When are you going to get to the Bob Bailey episodes of yours truly, Johnny Dollar? That's a fair question. My answer's been once we get through all the other Johnny Dollar episodes. The thing to understand about the Bob Bailey, yours truly, Johnny Dollar episodes is that they do not start out as half-hour programs. They begin as daily 15-minute serials. On the bright side, these five-part serials provide plenty of time for story development, plot twist, and excitement. On the downside, they don't easily fit into our general format. Now, there are a couple of ways we could do this. We could do two 15-minute episodes a week on Fridays, or we could run a whole serial together. So you'd have about an hour plus radio movie every week. That to me just does not feel like how the series should be viewed or heard. Unlike other programs, which could have somewhat sprawling epics. If you listen to the Superman show, we've had some of those serials go well past the 20-part mark. With two exceptions, these are straight five-part episodes. They were meant to be heard using cliffhangers and resolved all within the same week. So how are we going to facilitate this? Well, the way it'll be will be Monday and Wednesday. We'll do two 15-minute episodes of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, with the last episode of the serial coming up on Friday. Now, you may wonder a little bit about that, but I'll tell you all about that on Friday. So what this means is we'll continue to play The Adventures of Frank Race, the last 7 weeks of which will move to Tuesday at some point, and we'll finish Let George Do It that week with Let George Do It on Monday and Wednesday of that week, and then the last pre-Bob Bailey episode of Johnny Dollar heard on Friday, and then we'll resume with that schedule. And this will continue throughout those 58 weeks. So we're making this change mainly because this is such an exceptional program. I mean, for my opinion, other than perhaps the first year of Dragnet, or first couple years of Dragnet, I've not heard such high quality for a sustained period. This is just as good as it gets, and we want to be sure that we bring it to you in a way that will be enjoyable to you, and that we'll kind of capture the original spirit of it as best we can. Of course, there'll be some additional adjustments for Wednesdays and Friday, so listen to those days, and certainly feel free to email any questions. All right, well, we will see you Tuesday with Leonidas Witherall, and we'll discuss the programs that we'll be bringing you this season on Tuesdays. Send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. And we encourage you to support our listener support campaign, support.GreatDetectives.net. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.